It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
The Indy Vegas Film Festival, held April 25th through the 28th, was a celebration of independent cinema, and my guest was part of the celebration. Kenny Shedd, former Oakland Raider and current filmmaker, is working on a film, The Next Dana White, a comedy about a washed-up former NFL player who takes up the zany challenge of promoting MMA fights to win back the admiration of his daughter before she falls in love with it on her own. And you can follow Kenny on Kenny Shedd Uncuffed, as well as Kenny Shedd on Instagram. And Kenny, welcome to the show.
Ooh, I appreciate you. You know what? Thank you so much for having me. You're a big, big personality in Vegas, and I'm just honored to be here with you.
I didn't know about that. Are you starting rumors that I'm a big person?
Well, I could. Hey, I can foresee the future. And
oh, very good.
You're on your way. That's for sure.
Well, both of us were teammates on the Oakland Raiders, so you went your way, I went mine, and there you go. So, hey, before we talk about your filmmaking career, it's fascinating because you made the transition from playing on the field to really playing with, I would say, film, but it's digital these days. Becoming a filmmaker, you went to school and everything. How did you decide to go in that direction?
As a youngster, I've always had these crazy stories coming to me. Even in grade school, they wouldn't be as elaborate as the ones that started coming to me in college. So I started writing my first scripts in college at the University of Northern Iowa. And I complemented that by taking some film classes at Northern Iowa. But I wasn't really able to really sit down and concentrate on actually getting my scripts ready until just recently, when I recently retired from the police department. But it was all going on the same time as I was still playing in the NFL as well.
Wait, I don't want to let that go by. You recently retired from the San Leandro Police Department.
That's correct.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. How did you end up in the police force from playing on the field?
So I actually had my first encounter with a San Leandro police officer while I was still playing. One of my vehicles got their rear window smashed. And one of the cops that showed up was so gracious and so fantastic. They did just a great, thorough job with their investigation. They actually caught the people who broke my window. And they wanted to know more about me. So when we did our interview for the crime, they wanted to know more about, like, hey, how do you feel about the game and everything? And it was a very welcoming experience I had. And I wanted to keep in contact with them because I knew, obviously, I wasn't going to be able to play forever. And I wanted to, I was so impressed with the police department that I just transitioned right from the NFL right to the San Leandro Police Department.
Yeah, no, that's impressive. I want to go back a little bit further from the police department, and that is playing for the Oakland Raiders. Are you amazed at what's happened since then? In other words, now they're here in Las Vegas. And
I was with the Raiders, obviously, when they first came from L.A. and went back to Oakland, and I played 5 years. And so I didn't go anywhere else other than Oakland. And when I was done playing, I was so connected to the team that I was part of the Save Oakland Sports Committee to try to do everything they could to help fund the stadium.
Right.
So I was there, and I know for a fact that the ownership of the Raiders were doing everything they could to stay in Oakland. It just, I'm sorry, city officials just fumbled the ball. And they had no choice. And I'm amazed that they found such a fantastic place to uproot with Vegas. And I'm actually on my way. I mean, I go there all the time, and I'll be coming back out to Vegas because that's where our film is going to take place, The Next Dana White.
Yeah, I want to talk about the film in a minute. I'm just fascinated by your career segues. So yeah. You go from playing football, and somehow you're able to be still physically well enough to become a cop. Because you think about injuries and all that kind of stuff. And how many years were you with the force?
I don't know what you're going to do. You're going to like, boy, you're crazy. I was a police officer for 20 years.
Amazing.
20 years. And I thought that I wasn't going to do it for that long. Maybe like maybe 5-10 years just to get the experience, because I've always grown up. My dad was a police officer, so I grown up in that lifestyle, and I knew I wanted to be a cop. But my mom promised me that I was going to stay till I got my retirement. So that meant staying another 10 years, and then I was able to retire at 50. So
nice.
Got a really good retirement now, too.
Yeah, that's nice. You know what I like about you, and we've just met, is that, you know, police work is not easy, and it's, I would think, very simple to get jaded and cynical when you encounter sometimes the worst of human nature. And yet you seem to have gone through that 20-year process and come out the other end, and you still have your sense of self and your sense of humor and your generally positive attitude.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. It was a struggle. You're pushed to the edge as a police officer. Yeah. And now, especially, I don't know, city council members are doing everything they can to take the powers and the abilities away from the police officer to maintain control of the scene or the suspect. And it's very, very dangerous now. You know, and there's so many different cases where I was part of where this smiley, happy guy wasn't there. I had to act the fool, and I had to kind of, you know, exert some force. To affect their arrest. And then, you know, after it was all over with, I had to kind of dust myself off and get ready for the next call to go to. And those were turning just as crazy. So after a while, I was starting to think that this is getting a little bit too much. I do miss the police department because of some of the interactions that you have where you're really making a difference in someone's life. Mm-hmm. But I find myself in too many other situations where I'm like, I'm in the hospital because I just got done a death fight with somebody that just happened out of the blue. I couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, no, it's totally understandable. So now you're in the world of film. And as I mentioned in the opening at the Indie Film Festival, you were there to promote your upcoming film. You've working on other films as well, but this one's an intriguing one. It's the next Dana White, which of course, again, is Vegas-centric, which is why I wanted to have you on.
Yeah.
Have you talked to Dana White about this film?
There's a plan in place to one day communicate with Mr. Dana White.
Right.
I have a specific place in our script where we would love to have a cameo by Dana. And it ends the story very well because, I don't have a problem sharing this. It's just, I'm Dana White, but, you know, and I think I'm Dana White because I was able to kind of transition to a fight promoter the same way Dana White did. And then at the end of the film, someone says, "Hey, Mr. Dana White, can I get your autograph?" And I turn around and they weren't talking to me. They were actually talking to the real Dana White.
Of course.
Yeah.
And have you thought about doing a double comedy where you're not Dana White, you're Dana Black?
That's great. That's great. I love that. I'm going to have to write that one down.
Yeah, I just want a little commission. Not a lot, you know, maybe our walk-on part of the film. No, whatever you want to give. Well, I just like the concept because, you know, Dana White is a major force, not only in Las Vegas, but throughout the sports world. And so the fact that you're going to be using, you're right, you've written this comedy about the next Dana White. And how did you go about picking up? You're going to be obviously the principal actor, but who are some of the other people that are in the film and how did you pick them?
I'm going to be the principal actor unless I can get somebody like Kevin Hart to play me. You know, that's the only way I'm going to do something like that is give up that, you know, because I'm not really an actor. I've gotten into film work to be a director. And that's why I went to film school, because I wanted to spread my wings the same way Quentin Tarantino did. He didn't go to a conventional, like a 4-year university where he studied that way. He just went to like a little conventional mom and pop film school. And that's what I did. And they just teach you the basics and you take it from there.
Right.
So this will actually be our first feature film, but we've made like 7+ short films. And, you know, and I would love to be able to direct this film, The Next Dana White, but I can't do both. I can't be the principal actor and then the director as well. So, but the main thing about it is we're not going to shoot. We're not going to squeeze the trigger until we have everybody else in place. And you're asking who else is going to be in there.
Right.
Our main actress is Miss Rebecca Lynn Morley. She was slated to be on our interview today, but she's a LA actress and she's always getting hired for gigs. and at a whim, she needs to be on the road for to audition and all that stuff. So, but I have a lot of good feeling about her. I think she's going to be the next big Hollywood and maybe Vegas face. And I think it's our job as filmmakers to help pave the way for the actors and the actresses to strive and become big.
And she's been in a lot of Super Bowl commercials and other gigs that people would recognize her too.
Yeah. And she has this, her own special look, and she doesn't deviate from that. I mean, it's not like she's going to change all the different things that she brings to the table for a specific purpose on a role. And I respect that, because just like filmmakers, you shouldn't let somebody else turn your story into something that you don't want to go. And that's one of the main reasons why the next Dana White is taking a kind of a slow path, because I've pitched the idea to several people and they want to take it different ways. I don't necessarily want it to be all about the MMA fight part. I want it to be a connection between a father and his daughter and how they reunite in a special way through MMA, but not the actual fight part and all that stuff. Because there's a lot of MMA fight films going on right now. I want to do it a little bit differently. I want it to be more about the characters.
Sure. And then also you want to avoid fighting given your time on the police force and with the Raiders. You know, you don't want to injure yourself.
Yeah.
Unless you give us a double, you know, or just
some guy. There again, Kevin Hart.
So. Maybe you can get Dana White to do it. Act as your stunt guy.
Well, that's part of the whole, the gist of the film thing, is because Dana White didn't actually fight himself. That's the beauty of this whole thing. He actually just studied how to promote, and look at him now. I think it's a fascinating story, and I would love to do this in homage for Dana White. And if you look at our movie poster that we have, you see me sitting in front of this, like a skyline, Vegas skyline, on a sofa in front of a big window, and I'm just chilling. And people don't know yet that I got that idea from the same picture that Dana White did, like I think before he even became big. And all we did was just channel that that photo for our movie poster. So we're trying to do a lot to mirror what Dana White's done, but also keeping it cost effective. I mean, the guy's a billionaire.
Yeah.
We want to make it as cost effective as possible.
So are you looking at this point for additional funding, or have you got that in place and now you're
in pre-production? We have funding in place, and our investors are out in Vegas. That was part of this beautiful part of the movie making, is we had to make moves. We had to make business decisions, because I'm originally from the Bay, and that's where we were making all of our other films. I just think that our time in the Bay has kind of dried up a little bit for one reason or the other. And we started reaching out to people in Vegas. And a lot of it is because of my Raider background. They like being a part of the gatherings we have set up. They like the vibe with the Raiders and stuff. They like connecting the Raiders with Vegas. And so a lot of people have been curious and excited to possibly be our investors. The only thing was is that we have to now uproot the Bay, our Bay Area productions, and kind of start back up in Vegas. So that's why you're going to see me come out to Vegas a lot more, because if we're going to do it right, we have to do it right. That means everything has to happen in a very real way out in Vegas. So if you know of any Vegas producers who's been in the game for a while and we can start working with, that'd be great, because we have to start transitioning that route.
When you first started out learning about film, I know you also went to the Berkeley Digital Film Institute.
Yeah.
As well. So your background, in addition to your earlier years in college with film, what is it about that industry that attracts you particularly, given your background? Again, you know, you were a football player, you were a police officer. So what was it that drew you to film that now you're pursuing it as an independent filmmaker, which is I love independent films, and I think it's great when people can pull it off. It's not always easy. But what was it that drew you to it?
I think it's kind of how I grew up with my family, my other siblings. We had parents that were very busy. My mom was a teacher. My dad was a police officer. So they were always kind of, you know, working. And but every weekend, we would always find time, family time, down in the basement, we'd watch a movie. It didn't matter what movie it was. It just, everybody just connected. I have my siblings laying on me on the couch, my mom and dad are on the other sofa, and we're watching any movie it could be. And I think from a young age, I started kind of like seeing what it takes to be, to kind of gravitate and grab the people, the viewers' attention. And it all seemed to happen from a good movie. My dad never watched really bad movies. He hated bad movies, and he would just avoid bad movies to the T. All I remember is like when Arnold Schwarzenegger became big, his movies were always on our screen because they were exciting, and the directors always would put attention to detail. I remember when we watched Terminator all together. One of my favorite scenes that my dad would bring up is that when he was the Terminator, but then got burned up and now he's a skeleton, and he had gotten injured before he got burned up, he was limping. So my dad's like, oh my God, look, because when he's a skeleton, they do a close-up shot on his Achilles, and there's like this wire that snapped on the Achilles tendon.
Why he's
limping. And I think I've heard all that stuff, and I'm kind of, it's gravitating in my brain, like, oh, this is what makes a filmmaker different than all the other films, is the attention to detail. So, but there's drawbacks to that, because it takes us a while to get everything in place, because every little detail I feel has to work before we squeeze the trigger.
Well, listen, also, Kenny, the continuity aspect of it requires a certain amount of a budget to make sure that you've got someone covering all those, the visual cues and the audio and all the other things that go on. So you make sure from scene to scene, things, the details are there and they don't change, or, you know, you got to do all that.
You've
and
done this
to do that with a skeleton crew. You have to really, unless you're Arnold Schwarzenegger as a skeleton, but I mean, it just seems to me that you have to really focus. And like you, as you said earlier, the issue of when you're an actor and a director, there are people that can pull it off. And there have been, Jerry Lewis would be one that I think of, Clint Eastwood, yeah, another one, but it's not easy. And I think in your case, as you mentioned earlier in our conversation, you want to really focus on the direction part, the director's part, not so much, or the actor's part. You don't want to do both.
Yeah, it's going to have to be one or the other.
Yeah.
Because I, there's so many different things. I mean, you know how many times you do a take, like 20 times on one take by having the guy say, hey, no, put that down, and it's just film is just not easy. And that's one of the main reasons why I keep losing partners. You were talking about like investors and stuff. Right. And maybe that's what went wrong in the Bay Area, is because I would pitch the idea, everything would sound great. And then all of a sudden these potential investors are looking for results, like, hey, when are you shooting this? And, you know, when are we going to get money back from everything? I'm just like, I will make sure you don't lose money, but I cannot promise you when you're going to make money and get that money back. Just support us and let us, you know, back us up, and we'll set this thing up perfectly. And I just think that kind of ran its course out in the Bay Area. But in Vegas, they're excited about our project. Maybe it's because MMA is so close to Vegas and Dana White.
You've got all the elements here. You've got the Raiders, you've got MMA, you got Dana White, you got Kenny Shedd. So they're all here in one pot, which makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
In that sense, too. You're also working on other projects, too. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of your other projects?
At the film festival, the Vegas Indie Film Festival, they accepted a script that I wrote called "The Raised for Murder," and as a result of that, it actually pushed a little bit of momentum for me to get that film to LA producer, Mr. Alan Glacier, who was interested in hearing it too. So. It's not that I'm playing the system. I'm just getting smarter at how to promote our projects. So if a LA producer hears that a script of mine got accepted in a highly credible film festival like the Vegas Indie Film Festival, they were interested. So I sent it to them and they're reading it right now. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. But at the same time, I don't want to make it like where I'm diluting everything, sending it to everybody, because I'm not really in it for any other reason other than to find that team, that other teammate, you know, that production company who believes in us. And then the payoff is going to come in the end. But Race for Murder, honestly, is one of my favorite scripts that I wrote. I started it like in college. And once I retired from the police department, I was able to I have all day pretty much now to start from the beginning, and I polished it up. And it actually reads very well, Ira. So well, I'm excited.
I think the fact that you have the $1 billion pension from the NFL and then the $500 million pension from the San Leandro Police Department, you can take your time getting all these movies organized.
You know, if there is a career where they should be paid $1 billion, it is the police department.
Yeah, I agree.
Not necessarily about the football department, though, but yeah.
Now, yeah. When you're working on a film, and even the current one, yeah. which is, of course, The Next Dana White, do you have a core of people you work with now, separate from the cast that you're working with in terms of the upcoming film, but do you have a core of people you work with to develop any of your projects? So in other words, do you have, and I don't mean financial partners, but do you have partners who work with you either as co-director or co-producer or production manager or co-writer, any of those kinds of people?
Yes, sir. And that's the thing. We've had all that. We've had executive producers who've acted as advisors and script writers who are my co-partners as producers and stuff. Everything is kind of broken off. Like, for example, like I have to say, when COVID hit, it changed a lot of different things for sure. The us, you know, in some bad ways and some good ways. We lost a lot of people because things just got to be so expensive in the Bay Area. And when COVID hit, any project you did, it was almost you add another $50,000 that you would have to add on the overall, you know, cost of everything because of the COVID protocols that you would have to adhere to.
Right.
And, you know, so producers were getting burnt out because now they had to be in control of all this stuff for COVID requirements. And I don't think our Bay Area film group was used to that. I don't know if they had the wherewithal or the strength to kind of keep going forward because of all that stuff. So I was one of the last ones to kind of like, no, we can still keep pushing forward. Let's go. We got great ideas. And so we started losing some people. And it's unfortunate, but that's what makes me feel very confident, though, from the feedback I've been getting from connecting with some of the Vegas film people out there now, is that all we have to do is just make ourselves available out there, and we can start back up building our foundation in Vegas. And that's actually where all Hollywood films are going towards anyway. So, you know, COVID was, I think, a wake-up call for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think I'm going to call you Optimistic Kenny from now on. I think that's your new moniker.
I've always been known to be that way. I can't see anything that could stop us. There's if we just keep going, you know, there's always going to be somebody out there who's interested in kind of maybe giving you a hand and helping you out. You just got to be ready to jump on a plane and make it happen out in Vegas. It seems like Vegas rewards people for having a plan of their own. And just kind of like, hey, they're welcome in city, it sounds like. And I'm going to take them up on that.
It is. And it's a great private-public or public-private partnership here, too. So you end up working with the Nevada Film Office, and there's all kinds of things through the LVCVA. So I think you're right to be optimistic, is the way I would put it. Now, whether you meet Dana White or not, that's a whole other category. I can't help you with that one. But
really?
Okay. Sorry, I can't. Yeah, we're having coffee next week, and I'll mention you, but that's all I can do.
Something tells me that's probably true, but you're going to hold it. You're going to hold it to your chest until you see where this Next Dana White is actually going. Yeah, I mean, there's many layers to it. We're, you know, I mean, you know, we want to be able to branch off to some of the different help groups that are out in Vegas anyway. I mean, there's a part where we want to give respect to what Vegas has anyway. So there's a part in our film where we're our main character is hanging out with the homeless in Vegas, you know? So maybe that might be a way to kind of give them a little bit of exposure in a good light and bring some maybe resources their way as well. I mean, every time I go to Vegas, there's some areas that reminds me of Oakland. And if people with the abilities and the powers and the will to connect with each other, maybe we can start helping some other people too. And we can use them as actors in our film, you know? So yeah, we're trying to connect a lot of different things, and I think we can do it. This is something that if we keep meeting the right people like yourself, Ira, I'm just saying, you gave me a lot of direction through our conversation today. A lot of it is just learning how the Vegas works. And I've learned a lot just from this conversation. So I'm looking forward to connecting a lot of different things with the meetings we have in the future.
Do you get a chance to share, because you, as you mentioned, a lot of the people that were working with you in Oakland are not necessarily here in Vegas or participating anymore. Do you share your script and ideas with your family and get feedback from them? And are they brutally honest or semi-brutally honest, or are they optimistically Kenny, or what are they?
No, they're definitely not optimistically Kenny. And I, you know, I mean, my wife actually, she's not a big fan of this movie making thing, because
that's pretty honest.
She's very honest. And it's mainly because she's seen me. She was there when I first went to Berkeley Digital Film Institute, and where she said, look, you got to do something with this. Either take it seriously or let it go. And I said, I'm taking it seriously. So I put myself through the film school. And ever since then, I've been moving forward with it. But I've spent over $100,000 of my own money on film work, and we haven't really cashed out or gotten it back. For me, I'm fine with it because I know where we're going. We've never been this close before, Ira, with our filmmaking aspirations ever. But she doesn't see that, and she's not a big fan. And so, and we had actually a conversation the other week, and she's like, why should I support you? And I'm like, well, okay, you're right, but why should I listen to you? Because I'm not going to listen to somebody who's doesn't think that I'm, you know, I'm going to make it, you know. I mean, so, but she hasn't seen anything that would make her think that I'm going to make it. So I have to continue to be Mr. Optimist. If not, then I would have thrown in the towel a long time ago.
Right, which is what you don't want to do.
But I don't want to
have a dream. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been Kenny Sheddy's, a former Oakland Raider. He's currently a filmmaker along with many others who are working on a film called The Next Dana White. And you can follow Kenny on Instagram at Kenny Shedd. That's S-H-E-D-D, or Kenny Shedd Uncuffed. Both of them on Instagram. And Kenny, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. And if anybody has any acting aspirations, Ira said, reach out to me on any of those websites or social sites, and we'll take care of you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Kenny. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world.